It's just always so serious to me when I hear the recording has started. I just want to go, okay, Snoot, we started. So y'all don't have to mute. Y'all can chime in whenever you want to. I am going to go over some things, some basic Q&A, some logistics, and maybe get the questions at the end. So if you think of something and you think you might forget it, make yourself a little note of what it is you want to ask, and we'll see if we've got it covered during this time that I'm talking, or if not, we'll pick it up at the end. How's that sound, everybody? Is that okay?
That sounds good.
Okay, awesome. So I just want to cover a few things at first. So you know, of course, in Egypt, we've all had a past life there. For sure, all of us have, whether we recognize it or not. And so it's time for you to reignite your spiritual power and use it in service of your divine mission of healing, teaching, and helping the world. So hold on just a second. Wait just one second. No. No. Come here. No. Hold on a second. You wait. So again, this is your opportunity to release any insecurities you may have about your spiritual abilities or any fears of others knowing your beliefs. So maybe in the past you've spent time imprisoned or in slavery, and that might resonate with you, and your rights were taken from you. So now it's really time for you to stand up. Be strong within yourself and break those chains and move forward, which is what we're going to help you do. Maybe you've encountered some intimidating and even cruel authority figure or figures and have followed rules, but you got shut down. It's not necessary for you to continue this. A lot of this you're going to recognize. One thing you'll recognize is that you're your own authority in your own life. And as you can guess, this journey is going to be super powerful because we're going to move you through so many things. Does any of that sound right to y'all so far?
Uh-huh. Sounds wonderful.
Yeah. So the basic part about the journey is you leave here November the 11th, and you arrive there November the 12th. Now, if some of you have already booked your flight where you're arriving November the 11th, that's awesome, too. Either way, we've got you covered, okay? You'll also depart Cairo November 23rd. And if you've already got your flight schedules, I need a copy of them. If not, once we decide who all is really going from this call, then I'll turn it all over to Muhammad and see what kind of group rate he can get us.
Darn it. So,
no, you're okay, Mary Lee. Don't worry.
Okay.
So, when you arrive, our concierge is going to be there waiting for you. He'll meet you when you get off the plane. He'll get your visa. The visas are about $30. You give him the cash. He'll move you through customs. He'll collect your bags, and then he'll bring you out to our transportation group. So as soon as that plane lands in Cairo, you are with us. You're in our hands because our guy is awesome. And they really, they'll take care of you and bring you to us. A lot of the flights coming into Cairo, if they're coming from Europe Connection, they usually come in pretty late at night. So usually after the long flight, what we like do is just maybe get you some dinner and then get you to your hotel and let you rest and regroup, because starting the next day we're going to be pretty hectic with doing some pretty awesome stuff. It's also pretty cold in November here in Colorado. It sometimes can be cool in Egypt. Last November, however, it was not as cool as what we thought it was going to be, was it, Sherry?
No, it was pretty hot.
Everybody brought warm clothes, and so we had Hassanin got us all some special T-shirts for our group that were lighter weight, so we wouldn't keep sweltering. But this year it may be freezing cold, so especially when we go. Yeah, it could be cold. You never know. It's good if you just kind of plan on layering, because you can always layer up to get warmer or layer off to get cooler, you know? It gets cold sometimes on the water when you go down the cruise down the Nile. The wind off that water can get pretty cool. And there was I remember a time when we did some major healing work, because we do healing work for the land. We did it there at the Giza Plateau, and the next morning I woke up and there was snow on the Sphinx and the pyramids. And it had snow, absolutely snow. And it also had snowed in other parts of Egypt that never, ever, ever get snow. And it was part of the cleansing and the clearing of the work that we were doing with Isis and Ra and the archangels from Mother Earth. Right. So it was so funny when snow showed up. Everybody woke up the next morning and it was like, what do we do with this? You know, the Egyptians aren't familiar with snow. So, man, it was funny, but I just loved it. So, again, I never know what the weather's like. So it's easy just to make sure you layer. It even gets pretty chilly in the desert sometimes. So lots of times I put in some lightweight long johns, you know, those thermal underwear. They have some that are silky, and then they have some that are that waffle weave. So in case it's cool. Nancy, you've traveled quite a bit. Have you found that layering seems to be the best way?
I think, yeah. I like your suggestion about the silk underwear or the waffle. They make some really lightweight, which are really good for traveling. And you can wear it as a shirt, and you can use it as little pants under a dress if you want. And so it's versatile.
Yeah, and it takes that chill off.
Yeah.
So, good. So, we don't always do a lot on the boat, but we do a lot of things by the water. And that wind through the desert and across the water can get chilly, especially in the evening when the sun sets. And their buildings there are those thick, thick walls, you know. So, inside can stay pretty cold. And if there's a door open and catching a breeze coming through, you could actually get super cold. Or you can get super hot. So you can also take things like flip-flops and shorts. I would suggest you, if you wear shorts or lightweight, pack some lightweight pants or jeans or shorts, then the little long johns, a little lightweight sweater or jacket, maybe a heavier sweater if it won't take up too much space. And then just really do the layering. Take some comfortable shoes. We'll do quite a bit of walking. Make sure your shoes aren't slippery on the bottom, because when we step from the boat and we get onto the island of Philae, you want to have sure footing. You don't want to hit a part that's a little wet where your foot will slip. Now, we're going to be holding you, because they have to hold me to get on and off everywhere and up and down the steps. So we'll be holding on to you, too. And I'm not a big climber either, so we just want to make sure you're sure-footed with a shoe that doesn't slip too easy on the bottom. But I wear flip-flops a lot. So it just depends on what you're comfortable in, how you can handle them. We're also going to ride either a horse or a camel and go into the pyramids. And it's nice to have a little shoe, a type of a boot shoe, as comfortable as you can get, to cover your ankle so that the stirrup doesn't eat into your ankle when you're riding on it. Y'all got any questions about any of that so far? Socks?
Your ankle, like tennis shoes and socks?
If it's a really thick sock, because that stirrup will still rub against your ankle through the sock.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You can try it.
Okay.
I used to ride them without, in my flip-flops, you know, or my little slipper shoes. And every time I would get off the horse and camel, I would think, oh, I should have bought different shoes. So now I'm telling everybody, cover your ankle somehow. You'll be happier.
Okay.
What do you say, Jason? You've been with us before. Can you talk?
Did you mute him?
No. He may have muted himself. Jason?
No, I muted myself. Definitely, if not, shoes that cover your ankles, like some lightweight hiking shoes, something like that. Definitely something a little sturdier than a tennis shoe, probably for the camel ride. Definitely advisable.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Thank you. So here's the thing. We are tourists. We are considered tourists. We don't have to particularly follow a dress code, okay? I have had incidents before where it's very, very warm and people are wearing spaghetti straps or tank tops and their arms are bare. And then they feel uncomfortable because someone told them once they got back home that that was inappropriate to wear. Well, it's not. We're tourists. You wear what's comfortable. If you feel like you are standing out and being stared at inappropriately, which would not happen, but if you are sensitive enough that you feel that, just carry a little shawl and cover yourself up. But you are well protected. You have our whole group with you. We have all of our guides with you, and you are comfortable and safe in whatever you want to wear. There is no guidelines for us. We're not locals. You know, we're not that culture. They see crop tops. They see bellies hanging out. You know, they see everything. So don't let someone convince you that you have dressed inappropriately for the culture. You do exactly what you need to do. We're American, or whatever nationality we are coming in from, and we can dress as we please.
Well, I'm not letting my belly hang out, Madeline.
Well, you might want to try it, Mary Lee. It's a little freeing.
I'm with you, Mary Lee.
So just don't feel, you know, you don't have to dress any particular. You don't have to have your head covered. You don't have to be anything other than you in hot summertime, if it's going to be that hot. And Nancy, you're going to be coming from Kuwait, right? When
yes.
you come, you're going to come in February from Kuwait. So it may be a little cool for you in February, but then again, it may be super hot. So whatever you're comfortable wearing there, you more than comfortable, easy wearing in Egypt. In fact, probably more so. Okay?
All right. Great.
Okay. So everyone is super friendly, super helpful, super nice. They're wonderful people. We don't deal with anybody that's really wonderful people. We have all 5-star hotels. The pools there are awesome. Take your swimsuit. If you want to go into the pool or to the spa, you should be able to get a little quiet time by yourself. Even when you have quiet time by yourself, we would prefer you not cozy up and get friendly with anybody that's not part of our group or part of our Egyptian staff, because they always seem to have a secret agenda that you don't know about, and I'd rather we just not have to deal with that. So as long as you stay with our group, our people, nothing to worry about. I trust my group. I trust my people. I don't know those other ones. So it's just simpler. You know, I want you safe. I want you protected. I want you not worried about junk. We'll take all that worry off of you. You just have to follow the simple guidelines to stay with the group or stay with the people we've assigned to look after you. And we can go and do anything. Does that make sense to everyone?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had one lady that used to come. She came before, and she liked to jog every morning early. And she wanted to jog around the area where we were in a private flat, then at a private home. We like to stay in 5-star hotels. But at this instant, we were doing a real local experience and staying in a private flat. and she wanted to jog around the neighborhood every morning, which was fine, and I sent someone with her every morning at 5 o'clock, and she got kind of not happy, and she said, I feel like I'm under guard. Why can't I just go take off? And I said, you seem to forget you're in a strange country. The lady was from UK, and I said, it's his responsibility to make sure you're safe. That's all. If he's in your way and you're jogging, let me know. He won't be in your way, but we can't just let you go helter-skelter anywhere you want to and not know where you are, and then you may never come back. So she finally understood it. She said, no, he was super great, and she was happy he was with her. She just was wondering why, you know, because she felt bad making him get up to go jog. I'm like, no, he's good with it. He's supposed to do it. Let me think. I had another lady who decided she wasn't going to follow what we did, and she just decided to take off on her own when we were in Luxor, and her daughter was with us, and her daughter didn't even know where she was. And I had asked and put down the regulations and said, you need to stay with the group or let someone in the group know or take one person in the group with you if you want to explore. She didn't want to be told what to do, and nobody was going to control her, and she took off on her very own. When she finally got back, we had a little talk, and I almost dismissed her from the group. I would have sent her home had she not decided to comply the rest of the trip, because, again, we are responsible for your safety. And if you get a wild hair and want to do something on your very own, then good luck to you. You're not part of our group anymore. Does that make sense?
Perfect.
Yeah, okay, good. I like to avoid problems before we run into them. You know, we don't need to do that.
No.
So our guys are extremely polite. They're extremely courteous. They're used to working with Americans. They're used to working with our group. And their main aim is to make sure that you're safe, protected, you're having a good time, and they'll do anything for you, absolutely anything they can. Is that right, Cheryl?
Yes. Yeah.
Cheryl went with us last time, too. So let's talk about the exchange rate right now. So as of now, our one U.S. dollar is equal to 18 Egyptian pounds. So if you want to tip someone and you say you want to tip them $5 for what they've done for you that day, that would be about 90 Egyptian pounds. So 90 looks like a lot to us because of the number 90, but when you look at it as only $5, you know it's not a lot. I've had some groups before that thought they were tipping well, and they tipped 15 Egyptian pounds, and so basically that tour guide that took extra good care of them for the whole day and really looked after them, took them everywhere, managed to get a tip of a dollar. So it's just understanding the exchange rate and understanding what's fair. So I'm letting you know now that the exchange rate as of today is about 18. And Hussein is always great at helping you figure out the exchange rate if you want to tip somebody or if you want to get anything. You can spend U.S. dollars. You don't have to have Egyptian pounds. If we do go one place or two places that really wants Egyptian money, Hassanein will exchange it for you or we'll take care of it. Because Hassanein is on, and his group are right on top of everything. Wouldn't you say, Cheryl?
They really are. Because when we finally were able to go shopping for souvenirs for family or whatever, he was right there with me. Because I had no clue what anything was. So I'm glad I had him with me to explain all of it.
And we'll get you the best price from the best vendors when you want to do your souvenir shopping, because there are a lot of places there that will just rip you off if they can. But if they know that we're part of Hassanein's group, they know they can't do that because Hassanein won't allow it. Also, be sure to let your credit card companies know that when you're traveling, no matter where you're going nowadays anymore, they start sending me fraud alerts when I'm just traveling from Texas to Colorado. So when you're doing international travel, they will shut it off And if you have something that you want to buy, you can use your credit cards there. You just need to let your credit card companies know that you're traveling. And then follow up with that. Give them the exact dates you're going. Give them your exact connections. Like if you're going to connect through London, let them know, I'm going to be in London from this time to this time for a connection, because you may inadvertently need to overnight there because there's, for some reason, the plane is changed or canceled or delayed. And if they don't think you're going to be in London, they won't approve a charge for you in London for meals or whatever. In London, I'm just giving as an example. So when you get your itinerary of your flight, let your credit card company know all the places that you're going to be going and coming back. And then when they tell you, no problem, we've got you covered, you know, you won't have any issue, you can use your card however you want to. And then when you try to use your card and it doesn't go through, which happens 9 times out of 10 when you're in Egypt, be sure you get a 24-hour number, 24/7 number, that you can contact someone back in the States to get your card unblocked so you can use it. Because it feels upsetting to you and embarrassing to you when you know it's good to use and you're stuck there. And it's midnight in the States, and say 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Egypt, and you know you can't reach anybody. So make sure they give you a number you can reach when you're doing international charges to double-check and make sure your card gets unblocked.
And I want to add something to that, because I've had this happen. I banked with Chase, and I did all exactly what Madeline told me, and they were like, okay, you're good. That, you know, you'll have no issues. And the first time I tried to use it, it was declined. So when I actually called the bank, they were like, oh, yeah, we see it right here, but we do this as secondary protection.
Oh.
So just know that more than likely you're going to have an issue, and if you don't, awesome. But that way you're prepared for it and you're not like, oh, my God, like she said, freaking out, like, I know there's money in there. Because just know that some banks do that regardless, even though they see the note in there that you are traveling. Because they want to hear your human voice on the other side saying, hey, what's the problem?
The other thing is that you should do credit cards.
I didn't hear you. Nancy, say again, please.
You should bring 2 credit cards, not 1.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And definitely carry some cash in case you can't get it figured out, but at least you have some cash to pay for a meal or something to drink or something like that where you maybe can't get your credit card straightened out right away.
And it's safe for you to carry your cash. It's safe for you to have your cash with you because our people aren't going to pilfer for you into your purses or anything. You can bring as much cash as you feel comfortable with. Some people bring $1,000. Some people bring $3,000. Some people bring, you know, $400. So bring whatever cash you feel like you would like to bring in the way of cash, and don't worry about it. I always take cash, and I tuck it in many different places in my purse and in my luggage and in my clothes. Just in case part of it goes missing somehow or I lose it or whatever, I have others. So when you travel enough, you know to just to keep some cash here and there. Everybody good with that so far?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, so Wi-Fi. They do have Wi-Fi. All the hotels have Wi-Fi. They may charge you separately for that, for the Wi-Fi connections. There's also a little thumb drive thing that you can plug into your computer if you're having to take your computer and do work. If you can't get away from work for 11 days and you need to attach to your computer, there's different ways you can access Wi-Fi. Now, it is spotty, particularly as we go up and down different places on the Nile. We were on the cruise ship last time trying to call into our Isis Priestesses group call that I have with my friend in Australia, and we couldn't even though we had Wi-Fi connection, it didn't seem to connect like it was supposed to. However, had we been closer into Cairo, we would have been okay, but we weren't. We were somewhere down between Okomombo and Aswan, and it just wasn't working. So if you need to connect, there is availability. It's probably an extra charge, though. Also, check with your cell provider for your telephone and tell them that you're going to be traveling. A lot of times you can do a lot of your work from your phone, and you can get a temporary international rate that you don't have to be charged in the arm and a leg to use your phone. The one thing that I would really recommend is that you get these apps on your phone and you can check in with family, friends, or your office, however you need to. It's IMO is one of the apps for the smartphones, WhatsApp, and Viber. And at different times, different ones of those three work really well and really not so well in Egypt. So you have three opportunities to reach your people you need to talk to and let them know, I've arrived, I'm safe, don't worry, or I need you to do this with the business, different things like that. And Nancy, we just got Nancy lined up on WhatsApp, and it worked, huh, Nancy?
Yes, it did.
The deal with WhatsApp, IMO, or Viber is the calls are free. There's no long-distance charges for that, which is pretty awesome. And some of them are even video. Okay. You all have any questions on that?
No.
And it's nice, too, if you guys all add each other on any of those apps. So that way, if when you're traveling, if you're traveling with other people and you get separated, you can at least still connect with each other and say, hey, I'm over here or whatever. So it's nice to have that as well.
That's a good suggestion.
So, yeah, it worked out really well when the four of us traveled together because some, you know, a couple of people would go off and, you know, go through one of the airports, you know, looking around, and the rest of us would be eating or something, and then it's like, hey, our plane's getting ready to board. Where are you?
Where are you?
Yeah.
So. Where are you? Help me, I'm lost. Okay, good. So you may want to take, if you seem to get seasick or airsick, make sure you take your what helps you get better. I don't know if it's Dramamine or whatever. The cruise down the Nile, however, on that cruise ship is smooth. It's easy. It's flowing. I don't see anybody getting seasick from any motion of that boat because you won't feel it. You just feel like you're floating. And the other part is you see grasses on each side of you on the boat, so you know you're not in deep ocean water, you know, where you would tend to go into panic mode. It's just like, oh, look, it's so relaxing and peaceful. So opposite from the peaceful quiet of the boat, in the cities is very noisy. Lots of activity, lots of smoke and fog and smog. And if you have allergies, make sure you take your allergy medicine. Whatever medications you really need to have with you, make sure you take them enough to last you more than the 11 days in case there's a delay, like I said earlier, in your flight connections or any. Just be prepared. It's just better safe than sorry. We always provide for you bottled water. You don't need to drink the water there. Make sure you have something like Pepto-Bismol, like the Pepto-Bismol tablets for diarrhea. And you'll want to take some earplugs. Trust me on that. You will want to take some earplugs because you are not used to the street sounds, the noises, the animal sounds, the kids playing in the street making all kind of noise at midnight or 1 o'clock, them going down the street banging the metal buckets, making noises, the motorcycles. They all feel like they're right next to your head. The mosque goes off at 4 o'clock in the morning. That big siren will go off. If you're sensitive to sounds, take earplugs. You'll be glad you did. What else? Did you take earplugs?
We were so exhausted every night, we had no problem sleeping.
Did you hear what Cheryl said?
No.
She said that they were so exhausted every night, they had no problem sleeping. She didn't use earplugs.
Good girl, Cheryl.
Yep. And we didn't care if each other snored. I think it just was a lullaby that just kind of just put you to sleep. So.
Also take flip-flops, so you can put them on if you get in the water and stuff like that. Let's see what else. Oh, take Kleenexes with you.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to take some Kleenexes, little travel packs of Kleenexes, because a lot of the restaurants, a lot of the places that we go to, even the nicer restaurants, do not have toilet paper in the restrooms. They have those rinse bidet type things. So you'll take some toilet paper. You'll take, some Kleenexes, and those little wet towelettes are nice to have too. And Nancy, do you experience that when you're in Kuwait?
Yeah. All over the world.
Yeah, make sure you take that. You can also take your camera. When you get into the pyramids on the Giza Plateau, however, you cannot take your camera inside. So leave it with our people. They'll watch your stuff for you as you go in. And they also are very good at using your camera when you come out and get the right pictures for you that you need. They're very professional at taking those pictures. They're so used to that. And we get you into all the sacred sites so you don't pay extra for it. And even if they stand at the door with their hand out and expect you to pay them more, all you do is look at one of our guides and ask them to come up or come speak to the person, because you will not pay these people extra. Hasanain has got them well paid for. They just think that they can fool you into thinking you'll give them more money. Do you understand? And you can't really fault them. It is a poor country, but not when they've already been well taken care of. Yes. Okay?
Thank you.
That happened to Cheryl and our group last time. Mm-hmm. We had private time in the King's Chamber like we're supposed to, and the guy shorted them on the private time, which we didn't find out till later, which was not good. And then he wouldn't let them out past him without holding his hand out and wanting money. So luckily Cheryl, who's one of our leaders, blew past him and called Tamar, one of our guides at the bottom, and Tamar came up and we got all straightened out really quick.
Very quickly.
Uh-huh. Okay. So things happen, but we always fix it. And you're not expected to pay more, other than, you know, what you want to tip for the people that we send with you to do extra things. So who's vegetarian in this group so far? Anybody? Y'all okay with regular food? We do have special meals for those who are vegetarian. Just let us know ahead of time. Send me an email or something. It is a Muslim country. They do not eat pork. So you won't find much pork on the menu anywhere. But just because it's a Muslim country, there's also Christians, there's Coptics there, but the majority is Muslim. And Friday is their Sabbath day. Ours is Sunday, theirs is Friday. So Friday for them, the banks are closed, it's their religious day. You'll see them in their beautiful long galabiyas, and they go to prayer. And it's a beautiful regime when they get ready and go for their prayer. So usually Friday morning, because they've gotten all washed, ready for prayer, and we're going someplace, normally I reach out and shake the hands of everybody, but I take notice if it's Friday, and I don't reach out and touch them unless they touch me. because they may have already been all washed and cleaned and ready to go to their mosque. And if you touch them, then they have to go back in and rewash and re-clean themselves to get ready for their prayer. Usually afternoon or so when they've done their prayers, when they'll come back up to you, and then they'll hand you their hand or they'll hug you or something. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yes.
Yeah. What?
Are we watching? We
do our own thing. We just let them have what they need to do on Friday morning, but we're still doing our thing. We may be in Luxor Friday morning, and anybody else that's in our group that wants to go to the local mosque, you know, they will cover our group will be covered, so they may go in shifts. So just know if we're in Cairo or Giza or anywhere, if it's a Friday morning and they're being a little standoffish from you, it's because they're preparing themselves to go to prayer. And then once they do their prayer, then they'll not be so standoffish.
Thank you.
That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the thing, so you're not in culture shock. You'll see a Mercedes and a huge bus driving next to a donkey cart or someone riding a horse. There'll be kids running all through the streets, people jaywalking everywhere, what we call jaywalking. They're not jaywalking, they're just getting from one space to the other. If it's four lanes of traffic, it's going to be 16 because they don't stay in their own lane. They make their own space. So it's best that you not watch them drive. It's best that you just look at the sights.
This is true. I can attest to this.
It will help you not be so nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else. The inner Egypt flight, when we leave Cairo and we go to either Aswan or Luxor, wherever we're going to start the Nile cruise on this journey, is covered by us. Your price for paying for the journey covers all the hotels, all the cruise ship nights, most all the meals, and the inner Egypt flight going into all the sacred sites. Everything is pretty well covered except for your flight from wherever you're going to start into Cairo and then back home from Cairo. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, sometimes that flight is pretty early because we have to get on the flight where we can arrange with the tour group on the other end of the Nile so we can get some things covered because we are only looking at 11 days. Also, make sure you take your different electrical plugs. You can go to a little travel store and get those adapters that are for different countries. The ones in the UK, their type of adapter is a little different than the ones in Egypt. So you want a little pack that will give you many different adapters. What do you take with you, Nancy, when you travel? Are you still there, Nancy? She must have had to step away.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Do you take a little different?
I take different adapters because every country is so different.
Yeah. And you can just get that little set, that little group at any travel place.
And I think you can go online and they'll help you know what adapters are most likely to be used in your country, your visit.
Okay. Cool.
Because I get confused.
Because what?
Because sometimes I get confused.
Oh, yeah.
What adapter do you know?
Yeah, and there's different types of adapters that carry different strengths, I guess I want to say, or different availabilities, because the one I have a lot, every time I use that one and I put my hair dryer into it, I would blow out my hair dryer. So I think there's a different adapter that will handle the change of the voltage coming from the hair dryer through the adapter without you blowing out your hair dryer every time.
Hair dryers take a lot of.
Remember
that? Oh, yes, I had a curling iron and it melted. Yes, now I remember. Yeah. Sherry's reminding me. So talk to them and tell them you need an adapter or whatever else they want to call it. Adapter may not be the right word. They may use a different, fancier word for what it is so that it will handle the stronger current. What else? So we'll be doing a lot. Any questions so far?
No.
Yeah? Cool. There is a thing on my website that I like people to sign about that's going with me, just so that everything is easy and simple. I could tell you what it is if I was trying to. Hold on a second.
Terms and conditions.
That's it. Thank you very much. You're so awesome, Mary Lee. Yeah, there's a terms and conditions a document on my website that you can print that off and sign it and send it back to me or mail it to me or whatever you need to do. Take a picture of it with your phone, send it to me like that, text it to me. I just want to make sure everybody is clear about what's going on and for their safety and for everyone's protection. The price for the trip right now, even though we're into late registration for November, I'm going to still hold it at just the regular registration of $5,700. The late registration is $63. So if anybody wants to go ahead and sign up before this month is out, let me know because we're getting close to the time to go in November. So it'll be $57. The early bird rate has long, long passed. There will be an early bird rate for our trip in February, next February, once I build that up on the website. What else? Give me a second. There's awesome stuff we need to do. Now, one of the things that we'll do meditations almost every day. We do group healing work. We work with each other. We work for the planet, this planet and other planets. Hasanain is always working with us. He knows exactly what's going on with each one of us before we even know. I'm probably the only one that questions him to the kazoodle. Everybody else just follows him without question, which makes sense. It's very life-changing. It can be very heart-wrenching, but then very heart-expanding. We do go to a lot of places. We will get into many of the regular-type tourist places, but even though they're the normal places, like Dendera, that is Hathor's temple, you're going to, each place, you're going to have your own spiritual experience. That will absolutely surprise you. We also do the Crystal Temple, which is the ancient temple in the desert where they used to do many, many rituals. It's one of the options that we add. It will take, we will use some essences. If you've done work with essences prior to this trip to Egypt, then chances are you won't need any more essence work. You'll just be part of our group going to the Crystal Temple. It's really an amazing experience. There's a ritual that you step through to get to the altar. There's a certain place where you'll need to be. There's a certain time you spend connecting in with God and your divine self and your guides. And once you're on that altar, even though it's desert all around you, when you key in with your sixth sense and your sight, you will notice that it is a field of flowers that you are sitting in the middle of as you're making your talking to God and your guides about what your spiritual journey is. So it's quite moving. You'll have any questions about that? Well, I'll send another email out about the crystal altar. So there's one. There's also on my website a lot of information about the power of that crystal altar. How did you like the crystal temple and the crystal altar?
It was amazing.
Was amazing?
It was amazing.
In what way was it amazing?
Even just the time we had before we actually went to the altar.
Just preparing to get there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just kind of taking that all in, knowing what was coming. Because as we actually started to walk up to it, it got more and more intense as we got there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Pretty amazing.
Did y'all hear her okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Usually that's an additional option. It just depends on how much he's worked with you prior to the trip to Egypt as to what that looks like for each one individually. I don't know what else we need to cover. Y'all have any other questions so far?
No.
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 Good. So I do want to say that my sister did the crystal altar a few years back, and my sister and I were very estranged for many, many years. And she was alcoholic dependent, and so was her whole family. And her husband passed away, and she decided to come with me to Egypt, and Hassanein worked with her. I think she's been twice now. She may go with us this third time. But there is, I don't know, 180% change in my sister from what she was to what she is now. It's like I feel like this is the first time I've actually had my real sister. So it's just beautiful to witness. And it was the work that she did in Egypt and the work on the crystal altar. So, and if it wasn't for that crystal altar, had I not gone all those years ago, I wouldn't be doing any of this work that I'm doing now either. I wouldn't recognize what's going on with me. I wouldn't be using the essences. I wouldn't be channeling. I wouldn't be teaching, and I wouldn't be hosting any of these tours. So it was life-changing for me, too. Plus, we're twin flames. So there's a lot of different things that will start to unfold for you. Okay. Any other questions so far?
No.
Yay.
Covered it very well.
Thanks. Okay, so I will send out this recording to everyone. Just look around on the website and see where all we're going to be going. Just know that we do change it every once in a while because it depends on what's going on and what our schedules is like as to what we can add or what we need to shift and change. You will be going to the Cairo Museum, so look forward to that. That is pretty earth-shaking. There's a lot of energy in there, and there's a lot of ancient stuff there. When you hit that land of Egypt, you'll be shifting anyway.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Madeline.
You're welcome.
Love you.
You're welcome. Love you. Bye-bye.